that only a brand new bottle of Moxie can give you. Tim, do we have any Moxie left for Sarah?
I believe nobody wants that last bottle.
Boss, I'm saying it. It was meant to be left behind. It was there for a special cause.
Is it supposed to be good for you?
Oh, it's going to be a great day. Fantastic. All right.
My eyes hurt.
See, this is the best part, and by best, I mean saddest, and also funniest. This is the best part of this morning, but I was holding something up, or I was, like, waving something, and I was like, look at this news story, and Sarah looked at me and goes, I can't see. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, I can't see anything. And it was like that great, I guess I'm not conveying the humor of it. I guess it was, but you had to be there. When Sarah was blind this morning, it couldn't see. It was hilarious. It was hysterical at the time, really.
Yeah. Thanks for poking fun at my sickness.
I feel like Ann Sullivan. Anywho, if you've got a cold, why is it that you can't see?
I don't know. Like, I have a cough. I'm sneezing. And so my eyes feel like they're popping out of my head. It hurts so bad.
Fantastic.
Scotty J thinks I have a hay fever or something.
A hay fever.
I don't know.
All right.
But my ears are plugged, too. I can't really hear very well.
And that's the best thing. And you were making that noise. It's like people on their deathbeds in movies are always doing that. I don't know what it is, but there's something about when you die, apparently, your eyes just turn off first. Because in every movie you've ever seen where the guy's on the deathbed, like Brian Song, and he's laying there. And so, buddy, we all chipped in together, and we brought you this statue that says, you know, team player. You know, I can't see it. And then, dead, gone.
Oh, thank you.
Well, so all I'm saying is see your mouth. Oh, that sounded chunky.
Okay, I'm trying to back away from the microphone. All I want to do is be at home right now watching a movie, crying. I feel so sick.
Let's keep her talking.
I know.
Makes it feel good.
That's what, it's just so frustrating. I'm going to go home and watch Titanic after.
And weep helplessly to yourself.
I know. I just don't like...
Only the final half hour is good.
Yeah, just go home and she can cry.
I just
that
don't like
right
being on... Not being 100%.
Right.
It sucks.
But you're covering it well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. It's 2 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of January in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and germ-filled studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. We thank you for being here today. We are beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 if you'd like to be part of today's program. And why wouldn't you? Because it sounds like everything is going to go flawlessly today. Everybody is at their peak form. Everybody's at the top of their game. Everybody has brought their A material today. Without exception, every single member of the cast, all three of us, have brought our best foot forward today. It's 503-733-2970. Nobody even noticed that. All three of us.
What?
I'm not really with today myself.
Okay. Fantastic.
Well, things will get better.
All right. So Sarah's gone blind and now apparently can't hear about half of what we're saying, and Tim is busily reading the New York Times. I'll just speak to myself. It's 503-733.
You're very entertaining.
Thank
you can do it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's 503. Yes.
Did you meet with your therapist yet?
No, that's tonight. Why?
Oh ho! No, I was just—you just seemed.
What
a little,
do you mean? Oh ho!
No, you just seemed a little more mellow. I thought that maybe you had already had.
I haven't
meeting.
Finished my coffee yet. It's that's tonight at 6 o'clock. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Is there a clock over there? I can't see what time it is. I can't see. I'm sorry, I don't mean to mock your ailment. You mock my pain.
I haven't felt like this in a really long time, this kind of sick.
You kind of have that head full of cement sound.
Yeah, I can't really think straight.
Let me ask you this. When you tilt your head from left to right, does it make a sloshing sound? Do you have a sloshing sensation inside your head when you move it back and forth?
No.
Uh-uh.
I don't think so.
Oh, that's too bad.
Why?
No reason. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. Here's why. Because when I had a sinus infection a couple years ago, I was on the end. It was just painful, and I, again, with the blurred vision, and I couldn't see anything, and I had this, no amount of aspirin made it any better, and it was just this, my head felt like it had been packed full of Jell-O, and my head felt all heavy, and I couldn't process my thoughts, and I had this, like, weird throbbing behind my eyes, and my eyes ached, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor's giving me, you know, shining a flashlight in my eyes, and looking into my ear, and poking me with that thing that they do, and then she said, okay, now I want you to tilt your head from left to right, and tell me if there's a sloshing sensation, you know, like something shifting around, and I said, yes, and she said, oh, thank God, I thought you had a tumor.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God, that's what she did. I swear to Christ, that's how she put it. And it was, and she sort of, and she did like a little like, oh, huh, like startled laugh for a second. As though she was not really entirely sure of what she was doing, but apparently for about 30 seconds, and they're always nice about that, how they don't tell you until after the fact, but apparently for about the first 30, 40, 45 seconds of the, of whatever the examination, she thought I was about to die. She apparently thought I had a tumor the size of a baseball in my head. It was only the, sloshing of the mucus inside that apparently gave it away. That
ew.
I was not. I'm just saying that there is an upside to that. You don't have any sloshing, though.
So that means I have a tumor?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Super.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. You cannot try to die on a Thursday. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Hello, ladies and germs. Thank you for coming by today. You don't want to go jabbing a finger into those eyes. That's not going to do any good.
They're really puffy.
If you poke at those, they'll never heal.
I know.
All right. We admire your intestinal fortitude for coming in.
No, and I'm sorry for contaminating the studio. I have all my cleaning supplies.
So like it was a sterile room before. Like it was an Intel chip room before you came in today. Have you seen the other people that work here? I don't think so. Thank God for that Purell. That's all I have to say about that.
I'm going to bring the big bottle in here and make sure everything stays clean.
Seriously. Thank God. I don't know what
Thank God for automation.
I don't know. Thank God for downsizing. There are fewer people to infect us and fewer people to be brought down by our viri. All right. Well, in any event, we'll get Aaron here in just a second. 503-733-2970.
That's our final week here.
You can also, how do you mean, Tim?
I mean, in this studio.
Oh, that too, probably. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Yes, we are 7 days away. 1 week from today. 1 week from today minus 6 minutes. I'm not even entirely sure how it's going to work, actually. I don't know whether we're going to start the program over there. Because here's what's happening. And we'll talk more about this as we get closer to the end of the week. Our final broadcast from this studio, I believe, is this coming Friday. This Friday, we will do the show from... I've got that whole... What's that word? Mango. No, psychosomatic.
Mango? You got a mango in your throat?
Yes, I do. Because I have no gag reflex. I got that thing where now I feel like my throat is... Now I feel like my throat's
going
to
your throat.
No, I don't have a sore throat.
Okay.
So I just have a cough.
Oh, man. Well, you see, and Lara's got that same cough, and that cough that won't let her sleep.
Yeah, it's miserable. I
yes,
keep waking
is.
Myself up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, by extension, it won't let me sleep either. So there's a hideous chain reaction, and I will get back to the studio thing in just a second.
My ear's ringing.
Pick it up.
God, I'm dying.
Which ear is ringing?
My right one.
Is it making this kind of a sound? Kind of a...
Did you have an ear infection?
Yeah.
I had that before due to irregularly shaped ear canals.
Sarah's got irregularly shaped ear canals. Sarah's ears are irregular.
No, I'm talking about my own personally.
Sarah's ear canals are fat.
All right.
Well, that's okay. The tumor will kill you long before your hearing goes.
It gets worse, though. Then it sounds like a freight train running through your head. It's horrible. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. You can't do anything about it. There's a big train running through your head.
Would you recreate the sound of the train again? Is it a retarded train?
No, it's not.
Don't laugh, sir. Yeah. Good times. What was I saying? Oh, we'll get back to the studio in a second. But I was going to say, the thing is, so Lara can't sleep because she's got that going on. And, you know, the cough is the most frustrating thing because
it's
that tickle
so
in your throat.
Frustrating,
and
yeah.
It is like your body it's rebelling. It's going to be one of those days. I can already sense it. Tim is making freight train noises and saying, tickle, 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 to himself. Sarah can't hear anything because her ears are beginning to ring. Also, she's gone blind.
And you can't make me laugh because every time you do it, go into a coughing fit.
I'm hallucinating diseases in my throat that I don't have, and I won't be able to see my shrink for 7 hours. So it's going to be the best show ever, pretty much. I mean, we could just go home right now. Just go home and let the automation take over. It's already guaranteed to be fantastic. I'm just going to say this. But Lara had that cough. And the cough is really frustrating because it is like your body rebelling against you. That's why I hate being sick. I hate it so much because it's like being brought down from within. Like, if other people are bothering me, I can shun them or, you know, whatever. Avoid them. You know, just not talk to them. Do, you can punch them. You can do something. If there are outside forces, external forces bothering you, you can handle that in some way. When the disruption is coming from within, there's just nothing you can just, like, your own body is betraying you. And then the cough is among the very worst because it's an uncontrollable bodily reflex. A cough is like a mini vomit.
And it's just an annoyance to everyone around you and to yourself.
Yes.
Coughing is annoying.
It is.
I'm trying not to.
It's like little miniature bouts of nausea. You know, because when you're vomiting, the vomit. Let's see how many times I can say vomit as we live through the lunch hour. That's why I always said that throwing up is so terrible. That's why I haven't done it since the fifth grade, because it's the worst feeling, because it is your whole. First of all, throwing up, and I'm not saying anything anybody doesn't know.
It is glorious.
It is.
It's very cleansing.
It's a rainbow of pleasure.
Will you hold my hair?
Throwing up is so unnerving because it is like a full reversal of the bodily, of the systolic process. I mean, no, not systolic, peristaltic. Is that the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Hello. Anyway, but it's like a full reversal of the bodily process. I mean, everything has been thrown into reverse. It is like throwing your car into reverse at 30 miles an hour. That's what vomiting is like. And then your teeth are all gritty afterwards, and no one likes that. And then you never have a toothbrush. And you've always eaten something like beets. Why is it that no one ever throws up right after you've had ice cream? It's always after you've had, like, 5 pounds of corn chips.
Macaroni and cheese.
I said you have 5 pounds of beets. Well, you deserve it if you're eating 5 pounds of beets.
Well, you know,
of all the things to eat in the world, if you're going to overindulge in beets, you have a problem.
I demand more borscht.
So you never realize that you don't fully, like, chew noodles until you pick noodly. Never mind. And then they're still in their shape.
Okay. I'm just saying that on those rare occasions that I've thrown up, I've always just eaten something pointy.
Like a nail?
Like a nail. A bag of glass. Rusty divot, please.
That appointment can't come too soon for tonight, can't it?
Can I eat a large sack of rusted brads? Anywho, vomiting. So, vomiting is bad. Coughing is like a miniature vomit, though, because it's sort of like a... And it's like you can't stop it. And you get that... Have you ever done this? I'm doing the Matrix all out of order, so...
Yeah, you're kind of crazy.
So, Bruce, if you're out there taking copious notes, you can note that, yes, I am disregarding my own Matrix, and I'm doing the Matrix backward today, so I apologize for that. This is where I'm supposed to be talking about the news stories, and then later I do the slice of life relatable stuff.
You haven't even introduced us or anything.
I'm doing the relatable talk now. It's like a memento sort of a thing. You'll piece it all together later, it'll make sense. The thing about the cough is, you ever tried to hold the cough back? Like, it's a battle of wills. Well, you feel the tickle and you're like, I will not cough.
That's what I'm trying to do, and that's why I feel like my eyes are like popping out of my head, because I'm trying not to cough.
It's like sneezing and trying to keep your eyes open. And so you feel the cough building, you're like, no. And that's, you know, so that Lara all night is with that. And so she can't sleep. And so by extension, I can't sleep. And so this is what I do. This is what a horrible person I am. This is what a horrible husband I am. Lara's like, so I...
Please don't say you made her go out on the couch.
No. Okay. No, I wouldn't. Because
that would be
a
horrible person.
I would go sleep on the sofa. I would not do that. Yes, I made her go wander. Go, leave the house. Go wander outside. No, nor did I smother her. What I did is that we have this heavy duty. I have a bunch of cold medicine that is now illegal. And you can't buy it anymore. It's all of that, like, really heavy duty. What's that hook you up? Balls? Why are you mouthing the word balls, Sarah? Anywho, so I have all of this cold medication from back in the pre-meth crackdown days. And so I got some of that for Lara, and she's like, will this make me groggy the next day when I have to treat the patients, you know, the infirm? No. Go ahead and have it. You know, of course it will. And of course it does. Because she goes to work and she can't even walk straight because I've given her such... But of course, Rick Emerson got asleep, you know, so. Oh.
You drugged your wife?
Totally.
So you could sleep?
Yes, I did.
You are a terrible person.
Especially because she has to go treat the elderly and the infirm today. And so she's trying to draw blood or whatever it is she does at her job, collect a stool sample, whatever it is that she does at her job. And she's walking around half medicated today. So if she kills anybody today, it's on me. It's my fault. But I say, brother's got to sleep. So, should I take half a dose? No, take the whole thing. Not too much. No. Take it now. Man, I slept like a baby. And that's what matters. Rick Emerson slept well. All right.
I'm so glad you're seeing your shrink today.
Yes. It's 503-733-2970. Maybe I'll take that. Maybe I'll get that mini disc recorder from Tom Hunter, a couple, and take that in. Let's see here. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
In the city, Duran. What's up, brother?
I have the cough now, too, so
fantastic.
It's all good.
Well, we'll all die together.
Yeah. And, you know, it really doesn't, you know, no offense, but does it really matter, like, if Lara hurts anybody? They're not going to remember the next day anyway.
That is true. The demented, that's the thing, is you get a lot of leeway when treating schizophrenic patients because they don't know what the hell.
Yeah, I mean, no harm, no foul. The ones who remember, you can just kind of roll your eyes, look at the doctor and say, you know this one.
Seriously. Well, no, I remember she had this one patient, and I only know this because I went there and the patient, like, accosted me in the hallway. I walked into the patient's like, hello, are you George? I'm like, sure. She goes, you've got to keep the spices away from me. And I said, what? And she goes, you've got the spices. They're everywhere. Keep them away. And I just said, I will do that. And she went, thank you. And then she ran away. So what are you really going to do with that? Somebody's afraid of spices. You know what I mean? They keep the marjoram away from me. Basil. And then they run away. That's it. And so there's really nothing you can't treat those people.
Yeah.
Treat him with a gun. That's the only way to treat that.
The only way to be sure.
Nuke it from orbit.
Yeah.
All right, we should end this conversation. Oh, it didn't help, by the way, that you filled her full of whiskey on Saturday night. Thanks for that. Thanks a lot.
Good.
Yeah, straight. No mixing. No diluting. No watering it down.
She had the option to turn down. She's the one who accepted. She brought it on herself.
Gave her a huge water glass half full of whiskey. Thanks a lot. I'm sure that helped her immune system.
You guys were wasted by like 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Not Dally's fault.
You don't even want to know.
Oh man.
I went over.
Did you go to that?
We'll talk about it in a second. Here's what we got to get through today. It is Monday, and welcome to day 12. We are live today. The creepiest sound ever, courtesy of Aaron's wife, the lovely Jen. We have this. Hey, that's my penis you're chopping. The studio countdown continues. We get ready to move to the Rick Emerson Studio East. Let's see. Other contenders line up to be given a furious political smackdown by Hillary Rodham Clinton. We talked to Lisa Goddard. We talked to Jim Roop. And I am not teasing this, but I believe we may speak to Peter Carlin today. I'm not entirely sure about that. So that's what we got.
You probably shouldn't tease him at all anymore.
No, I'm just saying we may or may not. That's not a tease. That's like a little, he's like the bonus track on an album.
Yeah. He's like track zero on a CD now.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. There's no guarantee at all with him. So,
yeah.
No, here's the thing. Oh, well, let me just say this. And we're joined today by the lovely and talented and infectious, she's got an infectious laugh. And virus. Sarah X. Dillon. Hello.
Hello.
All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
Well, it's official. Hillary is in the race.
Bam!
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! And a new child sex abuse charge will be filed in Portland today against the Boy Scouts and the Mormons.
Yeah!
It's just not a Catholic thing anymore. A man pleads guilty to killing his dad over a television remote control.
Fantastic.
And a man falls 17 stories from a hotel and only breaks a leg.
Ta-da!
All right, there you go. No, let me just say this about the geek commentary. So there was a whole bunch of wackiness happening at the geek house, and we just had other plans, and so we figured we'd be over by 10 or 11. So Laura and I go out, and we kind of have our own night, and we go out and have dinner, and blah 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 blah, and then we get home, and the phone rings, and it's Aaron, and I think to myself, this is probably going to be funnier as a voicemail. And just because they always are, and Sarah can attest to that.
Yeah,
so I send
us
a voicemail.
Too.
Yeah, and then we listen back to it. And the first words out of somebody's mouth, and I think it was Aaron, were, and referring to Scott Daly, the first words out of the voicemail were, Huckleberry is a size queen. And at that point, and then you just degenerated into giggling for like 4 minutes.
I got that text message.
Yeah. Yep. And then immediately Lara's like, we're going over. Get your shoes. You know, and so she demanded that we go over to witness the debauchery. And then
normally we would be done by then, but Scott has to take a smoke break every 10 minutes.
No, and your wife, God bless her, who is amazingly tolerant in the same way that my wife is, had kicked you guys out of the house, out of the apartment, and you guys were having to use like the rec room at the Geek Tower, like the community room. And also, for some reason, somebody had passed... who is it that decided that there were going to be no mixers allowed? That it was, like, straight shots only?
That's right.
Why? What was the logic behind that?
There wasn't any logic. We were trying to be all hard and Western.
Yeah, and so...
idea in every way.
So thanks for that. So, yeah, you go in and so there's a huge water glass half full with whiskey shoved into my wife's hand as soon as we walk into the front door. She felt fantastic the next day.
She could have said no.
Nah, it's true.
Was this the same night you also drugged her?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I guess I wasn't... Oh, that probably contributed to that, didn't it? I guess maybe I shouldn't have given her that full dose of now illegal cough medicine on the heels of a half glass of whiskey.
Yeah,
I never really put those...
A sleepy eye isn't a winking eye on the side of that bottle.
I never put those two together until just now. Oh, I think I chose poorly. Well, let's hope she didn't kill anybody. All right, so there we go. And we'll check in with Mailman Chris. Oh, let's talk about Mailman Chris for a second. So Mailman Chris was also present at the geek party this weekend at Aaron's house. Aaron's place was a geek party, a tombstone washing party. Diana was there. The less said about that, the better. The night ended badly for her. The night ended bad. What's that?
Tragically?
Well, let's just say that when I got there, she was already on the floor of the bathroom and couldn't move.
Oh, no.
But she's still alive?
And she's like...
Yeah, keep a good Amazon down.
And she's
back
like
the next day.
40 feet tall.
That lady can drink.
Yeah, and she's an Amazon woman, and she was literally...
I'm sure she appreciates hearing that.
Immobile on the... She was immobile on the floor of the bathroom when I got there. Now, here's the thing now. Here's why it's no shame.
An Amazon woman on the bathroom floor.
It's like Amazon women on the moon. Amazon women on the floor.
Like there isn't a time you can't come on place to find a woman passed out on the bathroom floor.
Now here's the thing. Here's why it's no shame. She at least, as in the NFL, the thing is you got to walk off the field yourself. She walked out of that place under her own power. Now, she did not drive herself home, obviously, but she walked out of the apartment under her own power. Mailman Chris, who was there, I got there just in time to see him running out the front door of Aaron's apartment building and spraying vomit all over the parking lot.
Oh!
And apparently...
out of a bottle?
That seltzer bottle.
He had bottled it.
Apparently he threw up so much, because I just went inside, I'm like,
much did he throw up?
He threw up so much, apparently, that he was afraid that he would be caught doing it, and so he wandered throughout the parking lot from section to section, throwing up in like four or five different sections around the parking lot, because he didn't want it all in one place. He's like, I better take this next batch of vomit over there somewhere.
So he covered Aaron's parking lot in vomit.
Pretty much. And then he came back in, and again, we're taping, you know, we were watching the tombstone at the Geek Tower. We're there. Mailman Chris comes back and he's like, I'm just going to go sit down in this other room for a second. He goes off to this sort of adjunct room. And we didn't see that guy for the rest of the night. And the party wraps up at around midnight 30, something like that. And I'm like, he's still passed out. And, of course, what does everybody do? Not it. Runs to the car, leaves. I have no idea how he got home, if he got home, when he got home. All I knew is...
He got home the same way he gets home after certain nights from Dante's.
Is that he walked 180 blocks?
Well... I'm not saying he walked. I'm just saying is that he was of his own power.
Maybe flag down the passing mailman.
Yeah, this called put up the mailman sign. So it was a great weekend for everybody.
And then there was technological unpleasantness, so it might all be for naught anyway. We will find out later this afternoon.
Fantastic. So, all right, there you go. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. We'll check in with mailman Chris hopefully later on today, sir.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
I went sledding this weekend. It was really fun.
Oh, where did you sled?
Where was your snow?
Up on Mount Hood at government camp.
Stay away from Mount Hood. That mountain eats people.
I know. It was fun, though, because we couldn't find any actual... Because you can't sled anywhere.
What is your sled on?
Oh, we bought the
dead body.
The disc.
Dead body. We found this Texan. Ride him, cowboy.
That's yeah, they were way too fast and scary.
No, I was thinking one last year.
Yeah, one of last year's crop. Yeah. The sleds are... Man, look, the thing is, I'm not a pussy, but sleds are terrifying.
It was so scary. Like, you would just set down this disc on the snow, and it would just start slowly rolling down the hill. I mean, these things were fast. And we couldn't find any hills to sled down, so we ended up sliding...
Off this a cliff.
Was, how no, could, how totally... could you not find a hill on Mount Hood? Isn't Mount Hood a hill?
It's so weird.
I look out the window, it looks like a hill to me.
I never really thought about that.
that. Really,
this mountain is nothing but flat surfaces.
You will realize that you can only inner tube or ski. You can't go anywhere to sled.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know. Really. So we ended up having to sled on the roads. I was just waiting to get down.
You must have followed the wrong signs. Did you follow the signs to the coast?
Are you sure you were on the mountain?
I should say that.
Yes, I was on the mountain.
Which road did you take? The Sledder's Road on the road one.
The one that said abandon all hope.
It was really scary because all we could find were the streets. So we were sledding on the streets with these giant snow walls on either side because it's all been pushed off. And so we had to try and avoid cars and people coming.
I swear to God. See, and
I thought it was going to be a Darwin watch. I'm like, we're going
to
die.
No, and we would have had to do it too.
Oh, totally.
I mean, that's the thing.
I would have deserved it the entire day. I'm like, I am tempting fate. We would just be like barreling down this hill and then a car would be coming around the corner and we'd have to like, you know, run into the wall.
Fantastic. Can I tell you something morbid?
Sure.
Oh, and the mailman Chris wants to defend himself. I was so behind. Okay, I'm going to tell you something morbid.
More now, stories about vomit?
I am... No. Well, I'm sure we'll get to those.
Have we reached our quarter?
He was so hosed. He was... And, I mean, what was really staggering was, so to speak, was to see Diana. I mean, I'm not trying to embarrass her. I mean, she was... I mean, you know, that woman can usually hold her own, but goddamn. Literally, and just... just on the floor, and I mean, it really is just like seeing a heavyweight fighter go down. You're just like, oh, I can't believe what I'm seeing here. And then Chris, who could not even get off the couch.
He almost ended up at the dead letter office.
Dead letter carrier office. Yeah, wait, hold on. Anyway, so, no, I'm going to tell you something morbid. Speaking of you, Sarah, skiing or sledding down Mount Hood, which is just wrong on so many levels.
It was so fun.
Oh, man. And those flexible flyers, as I always joke, they're not very flexible.
Oh, there were many injuries that day.
Here's the thing. I have actually thought about I've actually put thought into how I will deal on the air someday with your eventual death.
That is so mean.
No, it's not mean. It's considerate.
Scotty working on it?
Scotty's working on a sounder right now with bagpipes.
Did you do it for Tim, too?
No.
I hope so.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't want to go silently into the night.
No. It's not so much that I've thought about what I'll say on the air when you eventually die. It's that I have put thought into what song I would play once you're dead.
You're such an ass.
I would think that you would do the same for me. Have you thought about what you would do on the air if I were to die? What if I just didn't come into work tomorrow? What if I just died halfway through tomorrow's show, and then you had to, you know, you and Tim had to do the eulogy and wrap it all up?
We would just think that, you know, we got fired, and it took 2 days for somebody to call us and tell us. It's happened before.
Thank you. No, but I mean, what if we were here?
Here?
No, I don't give that thought, and you're kind of creeping me out.
All right. Well, I already have the song picked.
Let's go back to talking about.
I'm not going to tell you now. You don't just see.
Well, you're already thinking about it. You might as well just
say
it.
No, see, you already poo-pooed it. You already...
I am having a rough morning, my friend. Just tell me my death song.
I was going to say that should you, Sarah Dillon, die, the show, of course, would go on because life is for the living. And Scotty would take your job. I wouldn't want him to, but he would. So we would come in, and I have already picked out the song that I would then play for you after your death. Do you want to know?
Yes.
See, I just figured I would play that Dropkick Murphy song, that Dirty Glass song. Because it's sort of chipper, and it's sort of life-affirming, and it's sort of fun.
And we'd wrap the board in a yellow ribbon.
I really don't like you.
we'd put black crepe all over the mirrors in the bathroom.
You're a bad person.
This is kind of a morbid discussion,
isn't it?
Why
are you talking about this?
This monologue is out of control.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
All right. Tim, do you have a death song preference? Should you die, do you have a song that you prefer that we send you off into the arms of God with?
I have to think about that one.
There's no My Way by Frank Sinatra?
No.
Okay.
Because most things just aren't my way.
What about a song by... I would play a song by XTC for Tim.
Oh, thank you. I like that.
Probably not, Dear God. That's probably not going to bode well for your chances in the afterlife.
Yeah, definitely the pearly gates would be shut and abandoned.
All right. Well, okay. Well, just think about it. I'm just saying, you know.
I don't want to be in your head. I don't want to think about the things that you think about.
I'm saying you have to be prepared for every eventuality. You never know when these things are going to happen. One must be prepared. It's like, you know what it is? It's like having your organ donation thing.
Something you should talk to your shrink about.
Are you an organ donor?
Yes.
Okay, why? Because you plan ahead. You never know what tomorrow might hold. This is the same. This is mental organ donation.
Well, all right then.
Okay. Should we break?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. Mailman Chris is there. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard from CNN about Hillary Clinton. Later on, what? Later on, Jim Roop, Peter Carlin, Clyde Lewis. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Myself.
Not a lot.
That's karma.
A little bit.
Oh, I hate it. I love this shirt, too. Oh, damn it. All right.
It'll come out.
I hope so. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. I wasn't trying to be morbid. See, now I have to find that song. I'll play it next hour. The Dropkick Murphys song. What kind of... This is like how people already have obituaries written for prominent celebrities who are aged. Like Andy Dick.
It's true.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Mailman Chris. We'll get him in a second. We should talk to CNN radio correspondent, woman around town, fashionably attired, stunningly intelligent, jaw-droppingly insightful, and other superlatives as well. Lisa Goddard from the Hill. What's up?
Hello. How are you?
I'm apparently overwhelmingly morbid. Sarah is about to die and can't really see out of one eye. Tim Riley is fashionably attired, and Scotty J has a strange suburban haircut.
Well, that covers it.
I don't like to just give you a little piece. Rick Emerson likes to give you the full meal. So,
yeah, I've got my big snow boots on and my hair's in braids. If that helps.
Now, sing this. Go schnitzen with noodles.
That's exactly. I look like Heidi. It's ridiculous.
You look like a Von Trapp. And
I do look like a Von Trapp.
Never mind. Let me ask you this. Why is it that they're always playing The Sound of Music on television around Christmas time? When did that become a holiday film?
You know, I had thought at one point it was around Easter, and then it was moved. I remember as a kid watching it around Easter. I don't know. I think something happened to that one song, Favorite Things, because it's got the brown paper packages in it or something. It became a Christmas song, which is also very random to me. It makes no sense. But so then they moved the movie.
It doesn't make any sense to me at all. The whole thing just.
But aren't I right? Don't they play that song now? Like it's a winter holiday song.
It is true. In fact, they're actually. There were like layer upon layer of things no one cares about. But there are actually, I have played actually radio DJ Christmas parody songs, like Christmas songs that are parodies of my favorite things, which always puzzled me because I don't ever think of that as a Christmas song. And I realize as we're discussing this that really there's like three other people on a planet of 5 billion that care about this. So
Okay, all right.
Plunge on ahead here. Is it snowing? Is it snowing where you are?
It was snowing yesterday. It was beautiful, and then now it's just slushy and gross.
The thing. It always lasts for one day. That's the thing. The snow is always great for about 12 hours, and then it just becomes filled with smog and soot and disgusting urban decay. The great thing about the snow where you are is it covers the crack vials and bullet casings in your neighborhood. So,
exactly.
Let's talk about...
So, you know, actually, I did meet probably the worst panhandler ever last night in the snow.
Please do tell. We love panhandling stories.
It was actually a girl. I don't know how old she was. She was short, but she looked like she might have been in her upper teens. And just said, excuse me, you know, she's in the snow. And she just kind of didn't seem to know what she wanted to say to me after she said, excuse me. And so I just looked at her and said, are you going to ask me for money? And she said, no, what time is it? And so then I left. I said, oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed. I thought you were going to ask me for money. I told her the time. And then my boyfriend's shaking his head because he's like, she was going to ask you for money. And so then I said, well, here's what time it was. We'll see you later. And we walk away. And then she kind of goes, excuse me, I thought of something else I had to ask you.
Do you have $1.50?
Exactly. I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah. Now, see, the thing is, I don't want to get off into a whole thing of a panhandlers, but first of all, I will tell you this, that over a Christmas vacation, my wife and I were in Seattle, and there was a guy holding up a sign. Here's a little tip from me to everybody else out there. Drop it with the why lie, I need a beer sign. It's over. It's passé. It's 2003. Move on. Think of something better. Here's what you can... I'm just saying, it's
right,
very...
I think you're probably right about that.
Very 4 years ago.
Right.
I saw a guy in Seattle who had a sign. I swear to God it says this. It said, father killed by ninjas, need money for kung fu lessons. and I gave him like $5. I mean, that's pretty great.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, I like that one.
He might not have come up with that himself, but it was still very original. And here's a couple of things you can't be doing, though, if you want money from me. You can't be smoking. You can't have a dog. Especially not that. That's stupid. Whenever you see this, whenever you see a panhandle, and it's always some poor dog laden down with the panhandler's possessions, like they're going off to be minor 49ers. And the dog is always on the end of a piece of twine. And the guy is sitting there asking me for like $3 or whatever. You're not allowed to have anything on your person that is itself an expense and then simultaneously ask me for money.
Yeah, just, right. I hear you on
it
that.
It doesn't work that way.
I feel conflicted about it, though. I mean, my boyfriend, I do probably give money more, you know, and it's tough, you know, because you want to help the people, but you're really not helping them. And he didn't make me feel better. He's like, Lisa, that girl was with these two other kids. They've got a little scam going. And I was like, oh, yeah.
I don't give money to anybody. Anybody my own age or younger. I'll give money to old people. If I see middle-aged, old, senior citizen, you know, kind of guys who are in the upper demo, homeless, I'll give them money. And I don't care, you know, somebody's like, well, you know, just they're just going to spend it on booze. I mean, so what? God bless them. God love them. You know what I mean? And there are times in this world when you just need to go get drunk. And I would say if you're like a 60-year-old homeless guy, that day and that time is now. So I got no problem with them going and just getting loaded on my dollar. Final homeless observation, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
Last Thanksgiving or two Thanksgivings ago, I was unemployed, so it must have been 2 years ago. And how sad that, like rings in a tree, that's how I track when things happen in my life, was I unemployed or not? I was walking down the street, and there was a homeless guy who had obviously been to a shelter because he had like a little pie pan, and in the pie pan was sort of a homeless shelter Thanksgiving dinner, like he had a little turkey slice and like cranberries and like potatoes and whatnot. And so he's there, and he's got his sort of homeless shelter Thanksgiving dinner, and I was walking around doing whatever, and he said, you know what? Nothing goes with Thanksgiving. What did he say? He said, nothing goes with Thanksgiving dinner like a little booze, sir. And I said, no, and I was like, you know what? You're goddamn right it does. Here you go. And I gave him, like, whatever I had was, like, $3. I was like, here you go. I mean, you know, just a little honesty, a little humanity. That's all I ask for.
Great.
All right. I just gave myself a paper cut on the lip by rustling this paper.
You are all kinds of, you've got burns, you've got coffee burns and paper cuts. What's going on? What have you done?
What are the odds of that? I'm surprised I've never done that before, actually. Ow. I feel retarded. I just gave myself a paper cut on my lower lip by rustling CNN press copy. Jesus.
I don't even know if I could do that if I tried. It's hard for me to envision that.
I would urge you not to try. It hurts. Hurts like a bastard. All right. Well, anywho, let's talk about the 2008 presidential race, which went from having no candidates to having like 50 candidates. Right. So now we've got Governor Bill Richardson. He's New Mexico, right?
Yes.
And is he the guy that came to prominence a couple years ago because he was trying to decriminalize marijuana?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know. I can find out. I don't know.
I believe so. I mean, that's not like that's the only thing. I don't want to boil him down to one thing. But I do believe a couple years ago he had floated this idea because in Oregon they follow these sorts of things very carefully because it's a pot-smoking state. That he had tried to decriminalize. He, if elected, he would be the first Hispanic. Am I right about that?
That's correct. Yes. That's right.
So we've got. So is he formally declared as of today?
Yes, he's formally declared. I think yesterday is when he made his announcement. Day after Hillary. So that's tough. You're getting a little. He got a little bit overshadowed by that, but he is an interesting candidate for sure. He was served as UN ambassador. He has a tremendous amount of international experience, relatively, I think, to the other candidates. But he has international experience. He's worked in Washington, but he's a governor, and you know the senators. They've just got that Washington Capitol Hill film on them, and I think that the governors, like Bill Richardson, they just seem a little more kissable. I mean, maybe not him, but in general, they seem like someone that's a little easier to relate to than the senators. So he's got that going for him as well.
I was talking to my friend Nate about this last night. We were talking about politics as we often do, and he said he has this whole thing about Bill Richardson being. That he's a governor, which gives him a certain cred. It gives him weight, a gravitas, as they say. He's from a state that you're kind of familiar with, but that you don't really ever think about.
Right. You don't have a bad image of it, you know.
And it's from a state that it's not like Texas or something where you think of it as being some like a cowboy state. Right. But you do think of it as being sort of a Midwestern, sort of traditional family values, heartland state, which is almost like being Southern. which is all, you know, because that's the Democrats. The Democrats, people, Democrats, Republicans alike, being from the South helps a lot. And being from New Mexico is almost like being from the South.
I'm not sure if Southerners see it. Maybe I think of New Mexico as among the more liberal of the southwestern states. I mean, it's not Nevada, but it's somewhere in between. They have a very large artist community. I think New Mexico is interesting. It's very divided. They have a very liberal community there, but then they do have some conservatives, and they've got Roswell. You know, they've got all the people that go to Roswell.
Yes.
You know, just to go, and they end up living there. I don't know. I think of New Mexico as probably a little more liberal than you think of it as. But you are right that Bill Richardson has made comments about medical marijuana. I don't see anywhere that he has actually gone around the country proposing that marijuana be legalized per se. But he has said that he would sign a bill allowing to legalize medical marijuana. I mean, that doesn't conflict with federal law, so it's not quite the same thing. I'm looking to see if I can get some more information.
I might just be hallucinating that.
Well,
the many drugs in my body might just be causing me to project things into my brain that aren't really real. Let me ask you this though. But okay, so we've got Hillary and Obama, and is it just sort of understood that everybody who's not either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, anybody who's not those two, who floats sort of aspirations to run, that it's really just to get their name out there for 12 or 16?
Well, you know, I think that it's tricky. I think a lot of these folks really, at my count, there are 26 people we are now watching to see who have either declared. I think there's some 16 who have declared or said that they will, and then another 12 who may declare. So I think some of those, sure, they're getting their name out there, but I think most of them are serious, and most of them really think that they will or could be president.
Well, I suppose that the power...
A lot of people. Are you adding in? Can I come on, make it 25.
Yeah,
I
mean, I guess the power of delusion cannot be overstated, but I mean, come on.
And when you get to Washington, you get people around you telling you how great you are, and you know, some of these people really, obviously they are leaders. They've gotten this far for a reason. But once they get this far, it's almost like everyone comes to Washington. What if? And I think many governors are elected. What if I become this great standout governor? And I know when the current governor of South Carolina, Mark Sanford, was first elected to be governor, I think now 4 or 5 years ago, his staff was all talking about him running for the president. And I think it really hits, it really gets into everyone's mind. I think it's an easy siren song to follow for some people, and for others, of course, it's very legitimate.
All right. Is there any indication at all, really, on the Republican side, where this is, who's gonna come out over there to be a serious contender in 08?
Yeah. Oh, on the Republican side, that sure is tricky. John McCain is a front runner on the Republican side right now, but he's having some bobbles. He's having a hard time because he is playing more to the conservative base, and he's moving away from the middle, and Democrats are really trying to point out every single hair that's out of place on his head, and they're finding some. So he's in a tricky spot. But other than that, you've got Rudy Giuliani. It'll be fascinating to see if he can possibly stand a chance in
not
the Republican Party. A lot of people say no way. Then you've got the conservatives. You've got Sam Brown back out there from Kansas. He was just speaking to the National Right to Life, the March for Life, which is in Washington today, of course, on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. That's the anti-abortion march. And so Sam Brown back really trying to court those social conservatives. Yeah, they're all over the map. It's going to be fascinating to see who Republicans pick. And here's the crazy thing is the first debates are just 2 months away, practically.
And here's the thing about Giuliani. I would love to see the Republicans run Giuliani, only because I would love to see the Republicans have to put up somebody who was pro-gay marriage, pro-choice, pro-stem cell research, and who is a divorced adulterer. I mean, just the idea of with a straight face, them having to put him up as a presidential candidate. I mean, that just right there, that just puts warmth in my heart. So, all right.
He's going to try. He's going to get some money.
Good. It's a good time to be an American, Lisa Goddard.
Isn't it though?
It is indeed. All right. It's a paper cut, and it's like an abrading. It's like I've given myself like a good scraping on my lower lip. That's just
painful to talk, Rick. Do you want to just make sounds?
just sort of make guttural moans.
Sort of like,
I'll just paw the ground once for yes and twice for no. I'll play through the paint. You know, I am a game day player, Lisa Goddard.
Right. See, this, you're just like Terrell Owens.
That's, yes, I'm exactly like Terrell Owens in every way. All right. CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. We'll talk to you soon, sister.
All right, cool.
All right, there you go. Thank you. That's Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. All right, fantastic. Hello, Sarah. How you doing today?
Hello.
Your eyes are popping out of your face.
I know. I feel like I'm getting worse, not better.
Yeah, well. I don't know. You're holding it together. You're keeping it together.
Oh, I got it.
Bowfinger. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. We'll get Mailman Chris in a second. Our good friend, godlike former program director Bruce Agler. Hello.
Good morning.
Hey.
I just wanted to let you know on Bill Richardson, he is not the New Mexico governor that proposed legalizing marijuana. That was his Republican, of all things, predecessor.
Ah.
It was Johnson, I think, was his name. He was
the
governor when we used to live there. But,
was it Bill Johnson?
No, it wasn't Bill Johnson. But
what the hell was his name?
Maybe I'm thinking Robert Johnson, but I don't really think so.
Oh, no.
I don't think it was actually Robert Johnson.
Somebody
sold his soul to the devil or anything. But
somebody sent it to me. It was Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson. That is correct, yes.
All right, okay.
Yeah, he is the one, and it was a Republican, of all things, proposing that marijuana should be legalized. Get us out of the whole war on drugs. But speaking of Bill Richardson, now there is the guy, out of anybody who's been talked about being our president, who would be by far the best president we could find. Yet, of course, he has absolutely zero chance getting in there. You know, he's the one who's recently gone toe-to-toe with the crazy guy in North Korea. Just a couple weeks ago, he was over in the Sudan negotiating a peace deal on Darfur. I mean, he's just great at all that foreign policy stuff. He may make a great president.
Well, you know, and Lisa, I know Lisa Goddard is required as a journalist to say, well, everyone's got a chance, but clearly that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, clearly he has zero chance.
Yeah.
And as much as I do kind of like McCain sometimes, I don't know that McCain can win because of the Arizona curse. A great Arizonan, Mo Udall, once said that Arizona is the only state where mothers do not tell their little children that someday they can grow up to be president.
That's hilarious. Now, is this true? Scotty is saying that Bill Johnson was an Olympic skier from Oregon.
Bill Johnson. Oh, the governor?
The guy. Well, whatever. I can never tell when Scotty's making stuff up.
I don't know. Maybe he was. But anyway, the Johnson who was the governor of New Mexico is the one who proposed legalized marijuana.
All right. God bless. All right, there you go. Bruce Agler, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Bruce Agler. Let's talk to our good friend, Wade, with the hole in the...
Postman.
There you go. Mailman Chris. Hello.
Postman is the person to vomit in your neighborhood.
All right. Now, this is the great thing about Laura and I showing up at the Geek Tower on Saturday. We show up. You all are outside having a smoke break, like you do. And you were just then stumbling past us, or you were just heading to a shrub or something?
I was just heading back from the shrub.
Okay, because you had wanted to, and there was apparently so much throwing up that you wanted to sort of scatter it about, or...
No, it's not quite right. There was only one bout of throwing up. I just didn't want it to be anywhere near Aaron's apartment or the rec room. I wanted it to be as close to the street where the buses and the Macs are. That way they figure it's just some drunk passerby and not, you know...
Of you.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. So we went back inside. You, at no point, because I came in about halfway through the movie. You guys were watching Tombstone. I came in, I mean, that started at 7. Laura and I showed up at like 11. You guys were halfway through a 2-hour film. So you never rejoined us for the second half of the film, though. You just sat down in that other quiet, dark room and never moved again.
I never moved. I woke up. It was, hey, we're cleaning up. Okay. Hey, we're done cleaning up. We're going to go.
How did you get home?
Mac. I rode the Mac.
Oh, okay. So you didn't have to walk like 180 blocks this time.
No, because he's right next to the Max line, and I'm right next to the Max line, so it was just like, you know, 10-15 minutes, I was home.
All right. Well, at least you weren't the first one to pass out.
And I walked out on my feet, not on my hands and knees.
Excellent. All right.
Although I think I have some responsibility for causing Diana to be in there.
Yeah, she's like the canary in the coal mine. If she is actually too drunk to stand, you know that there's been a lot of drinking going on. So
that was like 12, 14 straight shots of whiskey. That was bad news. I just can't wait for the all-day Star Wars marathon that'll be coming up in, I think, May. I'll have to pace myself on that one.
Okay. Are you at work today?
I am.
All right.
Working as I speak right now.
Excellent. Good times. We will speak with you at the end of today's program then, my friend.
Will do.
All right, there you go. There's Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We should break here. We'll come back with the AM 970 New News Hour. Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2970. As Sarah Dillon clings to life during today's program. 503-733-2970. We're back after this. Don't go anywhere.